Anybody besides me tired today? Oh, got some tired people. I heard somebody say today that they were aching in some places they didn't know they had places. And I identify with that. It's a good tired, though. It's a good tired. I want to thank again everybody for helping with the Calvary Cares giveaway. Someone else asked me, was it a success? And I said, define success. You know, I think it was a success because people were blessed. And that's what it was all about. We're going to be continuing on today with our series, Messages from the Mount, taken from Matthew chapter 5 through 7, where Jesus teaches the crowds, and it's often called the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to invite you to join me in taking a real close look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and following today, in a lesson I've entitled, Why Worry? Now, it should be pretty obvious once we get started here from the text why I chose such a title as Why Worry? Because Jesus is going to address that particular issue. Anybody here ever worry? You ever get anxious about things? You know, ever just get really concerned, overly concerned to where it begins to consume you? Well, you're not alone. People have this tendency to worry, and God knows it. And God's people, His children, also have these tendencies. And so, here you go. Jesus says in verse 25, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Now, that's a rhetorical question. Do we know the answer? Is the body more important? Is life more important than the things we worry about so many times? The answer is yes, right? Yes, it is. He goes on in verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Again, a rhetorical question. What's the answer? Yes. Yes. Now, people may devalue you and say you're not as important or as valuable as a bird or as a whale, but according to Jesus, you are much more valuable. Then in verse 27, he says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Rhetorical question. How many of you can do that? It will not add to your life to do that. Matter of fact, so many people have studied this and discovered that it will probably shorten your life if you are overly worrying about your life. He says, why do you worry about clothes? Did any of you today, you know, what shall I wear? What am I going to wear? You know, or maybe you thought about that last night, or maybe you're one of these people who plans days or weeks in advance sometimes about, well, what am I going to wear at that event, that situation? Well, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Then verse 29, he says, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The answer? Yes. Yes, he will. So what's his conclusion? Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The scriptures often counsel us not to worry. Why? Again, because we're prone to do that. But if the scriptures caution us about that, address that, counsel us not to do that, It shouldn't surprise us that Jesus, God's own Son, would counsel us the same way. Shouldn't surprise us. In essence, Jesus tells us, don't worry about today or tomorrow. There's no sense fretting about the present or the future. He implies to us, right, it's fruitless to do so, to exhaust our energies in worrying about the present or the future. Yet Jesus does more than just tell us not to worry. It's one of those things that's easy to say, not necessarily easy to do. He gives us a reason why we should not worry. And what is it? Why shouldn't we worry? Quite simply, because we have a Heavenly Father who cares. Isn't that really melting down? We have a Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, and He cares. He cares about us, and He will look after us. Far too often, believers worry as much as those who discount the very idea that there is a Creator, let alone a Heavenly Father. The way we wring our hands and pace the floor at times, you'd think we don't really believe any differently than they do. That we don't really believe that we have a Father, a Creator God who loves us and promises to meet our needs. It's worth noting, though, the example of the birds of the air. God takes care of them. Isn't that what Jesus says? God takes care of them. Jesus says the Father feeds them, right? But unlike the mother bird who catches the worm and spoon feeds, or maybe I should say beak feeds, her little ones, God provides the food but expects the birds to forage for it. Doesn't He? The food's provided, but the birds, they're out early in the morning, aren't they? They're out, and when you ever, I know you've seen this, you mow the grass is freshly mown, boy, the birds are coming out. Why? They're coming out to see what might have been uncovered that they can find. They're foraging. They're looking for what's been provided. They're out there. God's provision doesn't always drop into our mouths. If you think about even the manna from heaven in the Old Testament, remember when the people were in the wilderness for that time and God provided manna every morning? They still had to go out and gather it. They were told to go out and gather as much as they needed for the day. And if they did not do that, what would happen to it? It would spoil, and they'd do without. They were still taught, right, to go out and take advantage of what was provided for them. Solomon even uses the example of the ant in Proverbs. That hard-working ant who stores up for the winter. Who does that? Who takes God's provision, gathers it, and stores it up so that in those lean times that the provision of God is still there. It's there. It's not that the ant provides for himself. God provides. He but gathers. So many times I think we worry about things. When God is providing, we're just not gathering. We're not making the effort to do it. And we sit around and worry and stew about, you know, what am I going to do? You know, how is this going to be taken care of? And God's already provided it. It's there. He's just saying, gather it. Use some common sense and gather it, what I've given to you. But having said this, that lily of the field that Jesus speaks of neither toils nor spins. Right? What's the lily of the field do? We don't see it doing anything, right? It just soaks up, drinks up what God lavishly bestows. So, what do we conclude from that? Jesus is trying to tell us something, that there are times in our lives when we cannot provide for ourselves. We don't see, there's nothing there that we can see at least to gather up. There's nothing that we can do about a situation. So many times we worry ourselves to death about things that we can't do anything about. So what are you going to do? Trust? Distrust? Are you more valuable than that lily? Are you? Yes. According to God. And you may say, well, I don't want to build myself up. I don't want to think, you know, too highly of myself. Listen, I'm telling you what God says. What Jesus says, you are more valuable than the lily. And there's those times again when you need to just trust. Just stay where you're planted and trust. If God plants you there, trust. Right? Just trusting God for. As I said, easier said than done, we might feel. Well, here's some common sense suggestions for those of us who tend to get weighed down with worry. Here you go. First thing, do an honest evaluation. Be realistic about your situation. You've heard it, I'm sure, and your life is probably a testimony of it if you're honest, that we so often worry about things that will never actually happen. We worry and fret and are anxious about something that never happens. Just doesn't happen. We're worried it might happen, it could happen, what's going to happen, and it never even occurs. So be honest, realistic about it. We can also, as I said, be anxious about things we have no control over anyway. Absolutely no control over. And we need to be honest about that. When it's something we say, well, okay, here's something. God does want me to use wisdom. He does want me to do what I can to take advantage of what he's providing, what he's doing for me. But there are times when we have to be, once again, realizing there's nothing I can do to change this. My wife is not particularly fond of this phrase. We didn't hear it a whole lot until we moved here. Maybe it's an Illinois thing. I don't know. Or at least maybe a Midwest thing. It is what it is. Sometimes it just is what it is, right? And it's true, sometimes it is. Matter of fact, I will be honest before you and before God, is that early on it with the giveaway, I was like overwhelmed with what came in, and I began to worry a little bit. I became a little bit anxious about how in the world are we going to handle all this stuff? It's only the first couple of days, and you know, like, well, wait a minute. We were praying, you know, God, we hope we get a lot. We got a lot. It was like, God, you know, almost like, should we stop taking in donations? Should we say, wait a minute, God, you know, look, we're going to have to make an announcement. Don't bring anything else. Just come get. And I began to be anxious about that a little bit. And my wife and I talked about it a little bit, and I said, you know, babe, it is what it is. You know, and she said, yeah, it is. And we just have to pray, you know, God's going to help. He gave it to us. You know, he's going to help us. He's going to, and we'll have to, you know, prompt some people to help out. And hallelujah. Praise God. But again, I fretted. Worried. And really, the control that I had to do is sometimes I'm a control freak. Anybody else that way? A little bit, you know, I got my remote control. Sometimes it's hard for me to give up control, but it's hard for me to admit sometimes I don't even have control. But there's a lot of things like that. We need to be realistic. What is it that I can change, that I am to do something about? And what is it where I just got to say, hey, this is beyond me, God. I'm going to trust you here. I'm just going to trust you. Matter of fact, remember what Jesus said about don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's interesting he says that. He doesn't say, you know what, you'll never have trouble. Matter of fact, he's told his disciples, in this world you'll have trouble. But I'll be with you. So don't borrow trouble. Don't borrow worries. Try to focus on the reality of the situation. Take one day at a time and live that day for Jesus. Trust God about it, and pray and seek wisdom about it. So you do that, but you say, okay, I've been realistic, I'm being honest about this situation, but I have some legitimate reason to fret. You know, I have looked at it, it is what it is. It's a reality. It's not a matter of imagination or I'm just worrying about something that's not a reality. This is reality. The diagnosis is accurate. We may go through a period of denial about something and just try to hope it away or wish it away or this isn't the situation, but you know, it hits us and it's confirmed and this diagnosis is accurate. The marital problems I'm having are not a bad dream. They're real. The loss that I'm feeling, it's based on real, legitimate, genuine loss. What do you do? Focus on God's promises. Focus on God's promises. By the way, I do have handouts in the bulletin for you through this series if you want to use those to follow along, or when you get home, you know, kind of do some review and study through this. Someone was telling me, you know, because they're working back in the education wing with the kids, and we appreciate they're doing that. They're missing the sermons, but they'll be online, and they were thankful that there's something they can follow along with as well. So you can take advantage of those if you'd like. But the concept, again, there, focusing on God's promises. Now, I'm not suggesting some mindless mantra here, or mantra, depending on where you're from, okay? But it's amazing how even repeatedly reciting this simple truth from Jesus can calm our nerves. I have a Heavenly Father who cares for me, and He will take care of me. I have a Heavenly Father who cares for me, and He will take care of me. You get in times of stress or difficulty or the worry starting to get in you, remember, I have a Heavenly Father who cares for me, and He will take care of me. I have a Heavenly Father who cares for me, and He will take... Do we need to remind ourselves of that from time to time and remind each other of that from time to time? Reading this very text that we're looking at today in Matthew 6, if you really read it and let it sink in, you can feel the worries that were overwhelming you begin to lift if you read it and believe it. I want to add this, is that sometimes our anxiety, our worries, our fretting, our problems can be the result of some personal sin or guilt. In times like this, I want you to remember this promise. God still loves you. And He will forgive you. He will forgive you. The Holy Spirit may be the one convicting you and causing this unrest within you. And if that's the case, and if you honestly will admit that and confess it, if you repent, confess, seek God's forgiveness. You know, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And the reward that's promised to those who admit, again, their failure, even if it's a failure not to worry. If we'll confess that, admit it, our weakness finds strength. And we find forgiveness. 1 John 1, 5-7 says, if we're faithful to confess our sins, He's faithful to forgive them. He is faithful to forgive them time and time again. See, one of the things that happens many times when I talk to people about this issue or they hear a lesson like this, maybe they are really a person who really struggles with worry and anxiety. They struggle with it. And they are open about it. They're honest about it, but they struggle with it nonetheless. Hear me, dear ones. I don't want you to go away thinking, now I got to worry about worrying. Because, you know, if I'm worrying, then obviously God's not happy with me because I'm worrying. Hear me. What He wants for you is to be able to enjoy life and to have the quality of life that is not, again, clouded with all this worry and anxiety. He doesn't love you any less when you worry, but He wants you to come to Him with that worry and let Him help you with that worry, that anxiety. There's always forgiveness. There's always open arms. There's always love for the children of God, from a Father who cares about you. Remember, He cares about you, and He'll provide for you. We provide strength for you in the Word. Forgiveness when you are just feeling guilt because you're worrying. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Another thing you can do is listen to assuring messages. There are numerous resources, you know, available to us where we can hear God's truth about this matter proclaimed. And there are plenty of hymns and songs of praise that can really serve to reinforce the reality of God's promises in our spirit. I love the peace that the song Blessed Assurance can bring to my soul. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Wow. Jesus is mine. The assurance is He's mine. God loves me. He saved me. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. The Spirit of God is within me. Oh, blessed assurance. Sometimes it helps, does it not? To hear that, to sing that, to believe that, accept that. A song that equally gives that same kind of assurance to me is The God of Angel Armies by Chris Tomlin. God of Angel Armies is on my side. He's always with me. He's the God of Angel Armies. He's with me. So whatever it is that I'm worried about, fretting about, that seems to be so huge that I can't overcome, no, maybe you can't overcome it. Very possibly you can't, but God can. God can. So it's beneficial, it's helpful, again, to listen to God's Word, to read God's Word, and have the truth of God's promises, those messages, reinforced in our spirits. And when the dissenting voices in my head contradict what God plainly says about this, I need to have the attitude of the Apostle Paul in Romans 3:4 to boldly say that God is true and any voice that says differently is to be discarded as coming from a liar. That's where he says, let God be true and everyone else a liar. The idea, anyone who contradicts, any voice that contradicts what God says, I need to be bold about that. I need to understand that. That no matter what, again, I'm hearing or I'm feeling, God is true. What He says is true. Maybe we could say, and all the people say, amen, right? God's Word is true. And all the people say, amen. I think we sang that earlier, did we not? I think so. But do we believe it? Do we believe it? To say it's true. What God said is true. Finally, but I don't mean as a last-ditch effort. I just mean finally on my catalog here of things. Pray, pray, pray. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4, 5 through 7, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord's near. Do not be anxious. A synonym for worry. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, Paul is urging us and calling for us to pray as soon as we sense the worry welling up. And he says peace will displace the worry when we pray in faith about this. And Paul wrote this while he was in prison, not knowing whether he was going to be allowed to live to see the next sunrise. So the indication, see, is though our circumstances may not change one iota, at least not immediately, our perspective will. Our perspective will. We've got to believe that God will get us through what He's brought us to in one way or another, and we need to pray accordingly. Pray, pray, pray. Someone asked me this morning if I was nervous at all about the exposure in the media this past 10 days. My answer was yes. Yes. I don't know what it is. I can talk one-on-one with people and people I know, not a problem. You turn on a camera and I'm nervous about it. And then I can worry about it before it happens and worry about it and fret about it. I can do it. So you know what I found? The best thing to do in that whole situation was be prepared as much as I could but pray, pray, pray. And then here you go, honesty. afterwards, I'd say, man, I botched that. That didn't go very well. Now I'm worrying about the past. After praying about it, not to worry about the present or the future, now I'm worried about the past. Anybody ever do that? Man, you're beating yourself up. God handled it. So you just pray, Lord, let me release this. God, it is what it is. It's done. I can't change it. It's beyond my control. It is what it is. God, just take it and bless it and use it. And he did. So you've been nervous about anything this week? Anxious about anything this past week? Fretting about? It could have been taking your kids off to college. Or it could have been getting ready for school. Knowing that they're heading off next week or the week after that. It could be about an upcoming doctor's appointment. Could be about some tests that are looming. Could be about a meeting that you have to have with somebody. I was really worried several weeks ago when I had to do a deposition about something. Are you kidding me? Just nervous about it. But pray. Pray, pray. Prayer helps. It helps because it's not, again, you're praying. It's that you're praying to a Father, remember? A Father, a Heavenly Father who cares about you and He will take care of you. And if you believe that, you're not talking to the wall. You're not talking to the air. You're not just venting your frustration or your worry or your anxiety. You're asking someone who can do something about it to do something about it. And He can. He brings you a peace that passes understanding. If you've experienced that in your life, the peace that passes understanding that has come in the midst of your worry, how about just an amen? We know it. And it's not that it works, it's that God works and responds. Because we have this Heavenly Father who cares about us and will take care of us. Amen? So let's not worry. Jesus tells us not to do that. Instead, seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and He will supply our needs. How many of you knew that verse but maybe didn't know the context of it? May have sang songs with those words in there. Seek ye first the kingdom. It's context. Don't worry. Seek first His kingdom. Don't worry. Don't fret. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and He'll supply those needs that you're worried about. That's not some well, perhaps, or maybe. That's a promise from Jesus Christ Himself. Isn't it? So, let's not hurry to worry. Let's confess the stress and trust God for the rest. What do you say? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You in Jesus' name for, number one, taking care of the greatest worry that mankind had, and that's how in the world could we ever have any hope of being with You for eternity. You knew our need. You knew our need, our greatest and deepest need, and You provided Jesus, Your Son, as our Savior. Father, we thank You for that. We praise You for that. And thank You for preserving Jesus' teachings for us, because You knew we need that too. So often we, like people who don't recognize who You are and what You promised for us, we fret and worry, and we confess that before You today. We acknowledge that, but we ask You, God, to help us with that, to bring to our remembrance these truths, and to trust You. Thank You, God. Thank You for all that You've done, all You're doing, and all You promised to do that should relieve our anxieties of the past, the present, and the future. In Jesus' name.